Are you ready for a Florida tropical adventure like no other? Well, mark your calendars because Tiki Ugogo is coming to Orlando, Florida from April 5th to 7th at the beautiful Caribe Royale Orlando for a weekend of tiki fun. Get ready to explore Florida's rich tiki history, learn about kitschy roadside attractions, the Florida Orange Bird, and Disney's influence on tiki culture. Sip on exotic cocktails, enjoy rum tastings, and browsing the tiki marketplace. Don't miss out on this unforgettable event. Visit our website at tikiugogoevent.com and secure your room and tickets today.
The Florida Spectacular Podcast is a proud sponsor of Tiki Agogo, April 5th through 7th in Orlando. This is the Florida Spectacular Podcast with your hosts, Kathy Silustri and Rick Kilby. Keep up with Kathy at greatfloridaroadtrip.com and on Twitter and Instagram at Kathy Silustri. Find Rick on Twitter at OldFLA and visit his website, rickkilby.com. Now, discover a Florida you never knew existed.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to this week's edition of the Florida Spectacular. How are you, Rick?
I'm wonderful. It's a windy day here in Orlando. I think we're about to get a front coming through. And so my windows are open. You may hear wind blowing, gusting into my office.
Well, I am in a hospital waiting room, so God knows what you're going to hear gusting through my microphone. But it is definitely going to be a front over here soon. But hopefully that means that summer is coming. So I've already got my first sunburn of the season, which is incidentally my only sunburn every year. Once a year, I always get one.
That's funny because I'm not loving the coming summer. I like spring and I want to hold on to it as long as I can because I love the cooler temperatures, but it sounds like you're the opposite.
This pollen can suck it, I got to tell you. it's just not, the water isn't warm enough. I actually left the country last week. We did 5 days over in Bimini, which is really just Florida light. And there's real close, but the water was not warm enough, even at a lower latitude. And that depresses me. I am most myself when I am on the water. So,
well, there is a solution and it's called springs where the temperature is constant year round. And when it's cooler
cold
out
year round. The springs are cold year round.
It's relative. I hit the springs a couple times during the winter when nobody else was around and the water felt great. Getting out sucked, but the water was great.
So, okay. Getting out sucks. Also, the only reason it feels good is because the air is even shittier.
Exactly.
So, but I like to point out to people, and I was a lifeguard for years. So I had some training in this. Any water temperature that is lower than 98.6 degrees, eventually you will get hypothermia. So that's my do not pass line, 98.6. I actually will go in the water if it's in the high 80s, but not much lower. So
the key is not to stay in that long, obviously, unless you have a wetsuit. There are a lot of my friends who are big springs people who have wetsuits, and I can see the value of that. There was one time where I was at Green Cove Springs and I just could not shake the chill for about a half hour after I got out.
No, it's brutal. Green Cove Springs, what a pretty place.
Yeah, it really is.
It is such a neat little place. I like it. I have to tell you something good happened this week. So I gave a talk yesterday, 5 towns that are the real Disney Springs, because Disney has reinvented its shopping center. They built an artificial spring. And I like to talk about small towns that are really evocative of that old Florida vibe. At the end of the talk, a woman raised her hand. She goes, how do you get one of those shirts? I said, do you listen to the podcast? She goes, I do. And I hear you're giving away shirts. And I said, well, you know what? If you listen to the podcast and you come to one of my classes, I said, I have another talk Thursday. If you're coming, I'll bring you a Florida Spectacular shirt. So word is spreading. Our listeners can be bribed with t-shirts, which is okay.
As long as the per unit cost is relatively low. You don't want to be giving away $25 t-shirts.
No, they're not the expensive t-shirts. They're only one color. When the book gets published, I will probably do them in the full book cover color, and maybe then I'll sell them. But these are the beta version, and I wanted to see how they would turn out. And we partnered with a great company called Yaint Local, which is a local t-shirt company in St. Petersburg, and they have wonderful t-shirts and bumper stickers that say things like, thank you for not moving here, welcome to Florida, don't feed the seagulls. And then my favorite one is, Florida sucks. Your state's great. Don't move here.
I have to say, as a graphic designer, I prefer one color t-shirts. I just like the simple graphic look of those. So I want a beta t-shirt.
I did a beta t-shirt.
I did two, and it never got past beta because they didn't turn out well.
Yeah, it's just a cost thing. I got to get the full color. I'll cough up the money for it. But anyway, I just thought you should know that this wonderful woman, Stephanie was her name. I think you pronounce her last name Hughley or Hughley. Sorry, Stephanie, if I got that wrong. She did this nice little mini commercial for us at the end of the lecture. So that's definitely worth a t-shirt.
Well, I'm actually going to Disney Springs this weekend to celebrate our anniversary.
What are you going to do?
It's our anniversary. We're going to support Chef Andre, the guy at World Central
Haleo?
Kitchen. Haleo. We're going to Haleo.
Haleo is excellent.
We went to the one in D.C. and loved it, and we want to go back, and we want to support him because we're big believers in what he does, and that's enough to get us to go to Disney Springs. I have a very different attitude about Disney Springs than you do.
It's okay.
But what I like about it is they have decided to kind of tip their hat to places like Green Cove Springs that, you know, have this history of healing waters. There's a fake water bottling plant there and all that kind of stuff. And Green Cove Springs is one of my favorite small towns. It's a place that is changing very quickly. I participate in different groups that are based out of Green Cove Springs because it is such an important place in my writing. And I can see the town evolving and getting more options for eating. There's a bed and breakfast that we used to go to and stay. That really was the only place to stay in the entire town. And now it's an Airbnb, so I'm sure the experience is quite different. But it's a historic home that was connected to one of the hotels that was right there on the spring. And it's just, formerly a wide spot on the road, but I think Jacksonville is kind of moving in that direction, and it's changing quickly. But it's worth a visit.
Yeah, Jacksonville's eating everything in its path.
Yeah.
I think one of the hosts of Florida Madcap's podcast might have some property out by Green Cove Springs. So I'm hopeful that I'll be able to park the RV there and hang out my next trip up that way. So would you say that's your favorite small town in Florida?
No, it's not my favorite. It's one of my favorites. I love to do it as a day trip from St. Augustine. It's just a half hour from St. Augustine. You get there pretty quick and take the waters and grab a bite to eat and then go back to St. Augustine. Well, and I've stayed there several times in that what used to be a B&B. The owner there was very nice. She knew the history. It was a fun place. But I wouldn't say it's my favorite. Do you have a favorite small town in Florida?
Oh, it's like asking me to pick a favorite cheese. But first, let me just stop and say that is the first time in my life I have heard someone use the words take the waters unironically. And I love it about you. I love you for that, right? So when I wrote Backroads in 2016, I got a lot of questions like, what is your favorite small town? And it really is hard. And I do joke and say it's like asking me to pick my favorite cheese. And I don't know if where I live qualifies as a small town with 12,000 people, but that's why I live there. I think it's the best. And, I live in Gulfport, and I just love being by the water without having to be part of a big beach tourist community. I love the smallness of it. It's more tolerant than a lot of places. We are a blue dot in a red state, as a former council person once told me. So there's an odd dichotomy there because it's a fishing town that grew into something else. It definitely has a tourist economy now, but we only have one true inn where people can stay. 2.5 square miles. Everybody knows your business. No one really cares. My neighbors will call me. We went somewhere for a few days, and for whatever reason, we didn't take the RV. And one of my neighbors called and she goes, "Are you guys okay? I mean, usually when your truck's gone, your RV's gone, but you've been gone for a few days." And it was that kind of congeniality. You feel like everybody knows each other. It's got a nice art scene, a really, really nice art scene, and just kind of a laid back vibe. I mean, it's just nice, chill. And what I think makes it even more special is that it is in Pinellas County, which is the most densely populated county in the state. We have 24 different municipalities in the county, and we are west and south of St. Petersburg in a lot of ways. Like you can see St. Pete Beach on a clear day. You can see Fort DeSoto. So we're right on the tip, and it does feel, it feels a little bit like a faded watercolor painting of old Florida. That's the best way I can describe it. So honestly, that would be my favorite, but that doesn't count because I live there.
No, I think it counts because I go there as a tourist, and it's one of the places I love. There's wonderful little restaurants. There's good ice cream. And then you have the casino at the, you know, the end of the block right there on the water. And that's where they have the Floridiana, or whatever they're calling it, Floridania show every year, which is a reason alone to visit Gulfport.
Yes, I will be there this year. So that is a definite reason to visit. I will be back there this year. It is neat. The casino, by the way, is not used for gambling. That's a common misconception with people. It's just a public space. So that's nice.
I would like to add another one in Pinellas County that I am very partial to.
Now I'm curious. What are you going to add?
I'm going to go north near Clearwater.
Use the D word?
No, Safety Harbor. Safety nice. Harbor. I Good love Safety Harbor. I have friends who live there. And when I stayed there for a week while I was in a shuffleboard tournament once at their home. And it just, you know, for one thing, you know, it's one of the few places that has a working spa that goes back to the golden age of bathing that I, you know, write about in my books. And it still functions as a spa today. And they still love their history. But, you know, if you like walking, there's wonderful trails along the water. If you're into boating, there's a marina right there you can put a boat in. There's places to paddle. There's bars and restaurants on the main drag. You know, it's the things that I love, history and heritage tourism and, you know, eating and drinking. They have a lot of it. And it's, you know, it's evolving slowly, but they haven't lost their charm yet. That's kind of the conflict that happens in Florida all the time. You know, new things happen, but does it happen at the sake of the old stuff that you love? And I think right now there's a good balance and a good mix.
I agree. And then you couple that with people like me. I'm the problem, right? Travel writers kill what they love. We find this great place and it's so great. We want to share it with everybody. And then we're successful and it's not the same place anymore.
Yeah.
So those two things are definitely problematic. Do you take the waters when you go to Safety Harbor?
I have when I stayed at the spa, and I haven't been there in a long time, but it was pretty reasonable at the time. Well, the first time I stayed there, I remember it was kind of like staying at the beach. You know how, you know, if you stay at a hotel on the beach and sometimes the carpet gets wet, there's this kind of smell from, you know, people, that's the kind of the way it was, but they cleaned that up quite a bit. There used to be coolers outside all the rooms with the water, you know, that was piped in from the springs there. And you could just, you know, go to the water cooler and get some water. But I think that's changed as well. It's a lot nicer than it used to be. There's a restaurant there. Yeah, there's all swimming pools everywhere. There's indoor pools, outdoor pools, hot tubs, anything you want to do, get wrapped in seaweed, get hot rocks put on you, any of that kind of stuff. They have it all. It's such a fascinating history. Like in the 70s, boxers used to train there, you know, kind of kept it from going under, that they had this whole thing where the boxers would stay there and train there. And there was this pipeline of people earlier coming there from Brooklyn. And so like Ebbets, you've heard of Ebbets Field, the famous baseball field. The Ebbets family would be there. And there's another Kresge family used to stay there, you know, like, so it's got multiple layers of history, you know, going back to the Second Seminole War. So it's a fascinating place.
I have stayed there. I started not staying there. I have gone there for spa treatments. My first husband, my starter husband, would periodically assuage his guilt over bad deeds done and give me a day certificate there. And I used to live right around the corner, right at the edge of Clearwater. So I've been there quite a bit. And I actually got a gift for one of my friends for Christmas that we're going to use. The two of us can go for a full day. And I have to tell you, the spa services there, while incredible, are very Road to Wellville feeling. Like, they have this room that I don't know if it's a complete circle or a half circle, where they have little tubs with dividers between them, where they have you step in and they put in different herbs and salts. And it's not so much the idea of having a nice soak. It's the way they market it as far as what it does. And the fact that you're in this big, like, auditorium of bathtubs, the herbal wrap, where they wrap you up in scented canvas in a dark room and then leave you there, the mud bath. I mean, this all feels very Stephen Kellogg, and I love it. I could not love it more. It's nice. It's a neat town. They have some good art stuff going there too. And I'm pleased that you didn't use the D word, because while Dunedin is a lovely town, it is not a small town.
Isn't it? Not anymore, huh?
Mm-mm. No, it never has been. The downtown where the Pinellas Trail has really brought life into it didn't even used to be that big of a deal. But you know, they have Dunedin's big. So I guess it's my turn now. Another small town, huh?
Yep.
Well, this one is probably not going to shock anybody, but I like Isla Mirada.
Of course.
Isla Mirada in the Florida Keys. Now, it's a seasonal thing. I don't like it for me. I like that it exists. I love to go there. Obviously, I go there. 6,000 people. And you've got the family that owns Robbie's Marina. You've got a bunch of people who know each other. And because I know Brad, you know, Brad, who co-hosts the Florida Keys Spectacular, our bonus content, our premium content for listeners, he lives there. And having gotten to know him over the past few years, it's opened up a little bit of a circle, and you can really see what an excellent job. You know, we talk about travel writers writing about great places and destroying it. Isla Mirada seems to have done a really good job. There are two Isla Miradas. There's the one that I have gone to for years and visited, and then there's the one where Brad lives, and it's a totally separate circle. You know, there's, I think it's Florida Keys Brewing or Isla. I think it's Florida Keys Brewing. I'm going to mix this up and feel horrible. When Hurricane Irma came through, in preparation, they emptied out all their fermenters and they filled them with drinking water so that people who stayed could have drinking water. And then whatever beer was left after the storm passed, they put out the word to the locals, if you're still here, help us get rid of this beer because it's going to go bad. And you know, that's a big money loss. You think about, that's a family who owns that. They have little kids, you know. It's nice to see that there's that spirit of a small town that isn't based on selling t-shirts, you know, three for $10 or whatever. It's nice to see. And they have a creative district. They have a fishing culture. I would recommend Isla Mirada as a place to move if you wanted to live in the Keys and have a small town feel. But, you know, the Keys are sinking just like the rest of Florida under the weight of everything. So maybe I shouldn't do that.
Well, I know Brad, the time we've had him on the show, and I need to catch up on your paid content. He's just a font of knowledge. And I can imagine how he just opens up these layers to these places to just make them richer and richer and richer. And I was going to ask you what it is you like about some of these places. And for me, the history is always important. You know, I'm a cultural tourist and I like learning about the past here so that it's more than, you know, what's on the surface. You understand what happened before and how things developed the way they did. And that's one of the things that draws me to some of these small towns. And there's so many great places in Florida that are like that aren't the villages or something else with fake history, that's the kind of places that I want to go to.
Yeah. I mean, that's I think what has really turned me on to Isla Mirada more, is having Brad open my eyes on the history. You know, this guy goes to Robbie's Marina, sits by a bar every Thursday for like a couple of hours to talk history, and people come find him. Locals show up because they want to talk about Keys history. And it's fascinating to me. I think we're more in tune with our history than I think we realize as a culture.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. I think the younger generation, especially in Orlando, seem very interested in the past and the more recent past. You know, there's these silly modernist homes that are kind of a tip of the hat to mid-century modern. They're really not mid-century modern, but they take elements from mid-century modern. And I think that shows that there's a connection to the not so distant past, which is really important to keep going. I'm hoping that we can talk about historic preservation in May, which is Historic Preservation Month, because I'm right in the middle of a couple of battles, and I want to try and get some more shine a light on those places. I want to mention another town. This is a place I haven't been to or stayed in a quarter century, but it's really part of my past, and it's Wallaca, Florida. Have you ever been to Wallaca, Florida?
I haven't spent enough time there to call it one of my favorites, but what about it do you like?
So we had a place there growing up, and it was very, very small town. So we only went on weekends, so I didn't get to know many of the locals, but you know, it's so old Florida. You know, the main businesses back then were fish camps and tackle stores. And there was the 7-Eleven, and we would walk to the 7-Eleven from our place and, you know, get comic books and ices. But behind the 7-Eleven, somebody had a lion in a cage. A big lion in a chain link fence. And the lion, if you got close enough, the lion would urinate on you. But it's that kind of stuff that I love.
Is that just like a sign of good luck? Like if a seagull poops on
no,
your head,
I never
it's good
got
luck.
That close. It's so weird though. You know, this is it's right on the St. John's River, across from the mouth of the Ocklawaha. And everything across the river is the Ocala National Forest. So the views from Wallaca are gorgeous because there's no development whatsoever across the river. And the river is fairly wide there. There's tons of great history. And there's this incredible aquarium there that goes back to the New Deal. It was built, you know, in the 1930s. It's where Marjorie Harris Carr was stationed early in her career, the environmentalist. And I swear to God, they have fish that look like they are that old, that they've been there from day one. So when I was a kid, I was just mesmerized by these giant catfish whose heads were bigger than mine in these tiny aquariums. And it really influenced my taste today and who I am today, because I was so obsessed with them. There wasn't a whole lot else to do. I mean, Wallaca, truly, there's one stoplight. And it's a blinking red light, and that's it. But there's great Bartram history. Bartram stopped at Satsuma Springs and Wallaca Springs there, so you can learn that. But again, it's very old Florida now, but it's likely to change because off of Wallaca Springs is the island, and the entire island has been purchased by the owner of Bass Pro Shops. And the story I've heard anyways, is he's going to develop it. And so that will change the complexion of the entire place. Again, that's the whole thing about Florida. How do you maintain that charm and grow at the same time? It'll be interesting to see if they can do it there.
You know, people are so scared of change, right? There's this great line or a great passage in one of Tom Corcoran's books, and his two characters are talking about Key West because that's where they're set. And, you know, they're talking about, bemoaning the change. And so this one character talks to two people, one who is a relatively recent arrival, one who's been there for decades. And he asks them both, what did you think of it when you showed up? And they both have the same answer. You know, it was perfect. It was paradise. We don't need to change a thing. But in those interceding decades, of course, much has changed. So it's kind of a commentary on paradise is still paradise. And sometimes we get really hung up on how it changes or not even how it changes, but just that it has changed. I'm watching that play out in Gulfport now because change is hard for smaller towns.
Yeah.
Do we have time for one more?
Yeah, okay, please.
So this is, if I was not going to live in Gulfport, and we could do more small towns than we have time for today because I have two or three others I could talk about. But I think if I was not going to live in Gulfport, I would live in Matlache because I just love it there. And I think we just talked about this, right? So I don't want to go into it too much detail, but the whole island there, I am just so charmed by. And is this like one of those places that just doesn't give a shit about tourists? And I like that. You know, I grew up in Pinellas County. I grew up in a tourist-based economy. And Matt Lachey's like, yeah, whatever. We've got three restaurants. You can come if you want to. Once a year, we have a festival. See ya. I like that. And I like that it's gritty. I like that it's not a polished beach town. I like that it is in between the mainland and Sanibel. So that definitely it doesn't have the beaches. So it doesn't have the condos, it doesn't have the high rises, it doesn't have the hotels. And it's more of a, it's almost the kind of place you would expect to find in the rural panhandle or by Lake Okeechobee, not in a coastal city. And I like that. I really do like that. So that's my go-to place. If I get run out of Gulfport on a rail for something I write in the paper and we have to sell the house, we're going down to Matt Lachey. It'll be fine.
So would it be the entire Pine Island or just Matt Lachey? There's all these places on Pine Island.
Yes, it could be any of them. I say Matt Lachey, and I really mean the whole of Pine Island. Matt Lachey, I think probably my least favorite, which is definitely still way up there in my hierarchy, would be St. James Center, of all the little places on Pine Island. But even that, I would still take over, no disrespect, Tampa, Jacksonville, Miami, any day of the week. So
I'm sure those places have, you know, you, when you live in a community, you know, the Orlando I live in is very different from anything close to Disney. It's very different from some of the gated communities, suburban communities of Orlando. I think probably there are areas in Tampa or Jacksonville or Miami I could be happy in, you know, like I love Coral Gables and Coconut Grove are very cool neighborhoods. Of course, it's been years since I've been there. I'm sure they've changed quite a bit and I couldn't afford it. But, you know, it's interesting how, like in a larger city, your world gets small. You know, we very rarely leave, you know, with the couple of miles, which, you know, our grocery store is in, you know, the restaurants are where we go. You know, every once in a while we'll venture past that. But, you know, I'm 2 miles from downtown, so I can get to a lot of stuff pretty quick. It's almost like we have a small town within a larger town, if you know, that's one way to live. But there is something about these places. I can, when you talk about Matt Lachey, I can picture exactly in my mind what you're talking about. You know, there is something there that's intangible that you can feel. It's kind of like, you know, being in a Jimmy Buffett song or a Randy Wayne White novel. You know, there's just something different there, and it's in the people, it's in the place. And I think a lot about place and how it affects you as a person and how, you know, place affects your writing and your point of view and all that stuff. And I think Matt Lachey works for you as well as Gulfport. Gulfport's a pretty magical place too.
Yeah, it's, I think that's part of it. It's the charm. But I just, place is such a big thing for me. Mm-hmm. That you're right. I mean no disrespect to anybody who chooses Tampa or Jacksonville or Miami. Like, everybody has a different definition of paradise, and if that's yours, I'm glad you're here. As long as you're not in Miami, Jacksonville, or Tampa screaming about how the pizza's better up north and it's too damn hot, and that's not how we do it. If you're one of those people, you're probably not listening to the podcast, but if for some weird reason you are, the interstates work both ways. You can get over it or you can get out. You know, I don't care how you did it up north, but other than that, if those are the places you love, if that's your place, if that's what anchors you, that's where you need to be. I describe the first time I was old enough to remember coming to Florida. I was little and I didn't really understand it. I was probably three or four. But when we moved here, when I was 7, I remember seeing Tampa Bay when we crossed the Courtney Campbell Causeway. And I remember a lot of it had to do with my dad was clearly in love with it. He was in love with the water. But I describe it as like this feeling that I remembered. It was so vivid. And years later, I figured out it was like I had come home. And, you know, that's what keeps me here. That's what keeps me from living out in Orlando and being your neighbor and popping over for a glass of black coral rum. I have to share that with you remotely now. So, and before we go, hold your thought. I do want to give a shout out to our sponsors for April, Black Coral Rum. It is distinctly Floridian, very sustainably made. I really support what our sponsors are doing with how they make the rum and their practices. And I can't wait to go down and take a distillery tour. So I just want to give them a quick shout out. But now, what were you going to say, Rick? I'm sorry.
Well, I would say two things. I was rocking my Black Coral t-shirt just this week on my walk, being a human billboard, because their branding is very strong. It's a big red cross that's on the Florida state flag with their seal in the middle. And it's you notice those t-shirts. But the second thing, I think the key to living anywhere and being happy, I think, in this state is not having to. You talked about the interstates. If you can avoid the interstates, you're going to be a lot happier. If you know, I think that's, you know, you bloom where you're planted, and if you want to be uprooted very quickly and miserable, get on I-4, I-75, I-95. My mom's at this point where she won't drive on I-75 at all anymore.
I love that you use the word quickly in association with any of those arteries.
Because they're not quick anymore. I mean, that's one of the negative changes, I think, in Florida. It's harder to get places. But there are great back roads, and I know a great guidebook that will help you discover them.
Would it be a book I might know?
Yeah, you would.
I love that people are still discovering back roads. Like Utes 2, I don't think we talked about this yet, but Utes 2, someone brought it to their attention that I had written about them. And it was two women who were on a road trip. And they stopped at Utes 2, and they apparently told the people there, hey, we're here because this woman said we should stop here. And it's been what? That book was published in 2016. It's been 8 years almost, and people are still picking it up and going, let's take a road trip. And that, you know, as much as I loved getting the love for the book online, that really made my morning. I love that people are still inspired by the idea of a back road trip instead of let's just get to wherever we have to go as fast as we can.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that, I think that's great.
You know, that's a great one. What is that? 98?
US 98. Yeah, it's one of my favorite roads.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
I ate my way across that road. My God, I also was wearing my black coral t-shirt in Bimini this week, just in case anybody was going to mistake me for a local. I wanted them to see the big St. Andrew's cross and go, oh, she must be from Florida. I forget where I just got all caught up in the t-shirt, but,
you were eating your way across 98.
Oh yeah. Oh, well, I have a problem with seafood, specifically shellfish. I ate my weight in conch this weekend, which I am sure is not sustainable and I probably should never do again. But US 98, did it have a shell? Did it live in the ocean? Let me eat it. I mean, it was hardcore all the way across, but we are the sort of family that actually owns an oyster shucking machine and most recently bought a box of 100 oysters from a local fisherman. So that's, wow. Yeah. So I could eat my way US 98, Royal Reds, any shrimp. I don't know. I ate everything. The only thing I really won't eat that comes from the sea, I won't eat lobster anymore. And I feel funny about eating octopus. So actually I probably would eat lobster, but feel bad about it. Octopus I can't do. So anyway.
So there you have it. I'm just happy that how do you say that restaurant's name? Because it's spelled Oots. O-U, Oots, O-U.
I can't spell it.
Oots. O-U, O-U, I think it's O-U-T-Z.
O-U, I don't know. And I swear I've seen it spelled different ways.
Hold on. I got to look.
O-U. It's actually S apostrophe.
Oots, but I love that place is still there. You know, that's, you know, I guess we have different viewpoints. I tend to be drawn to these places that are establishments that have been there forever. And, you know, you just look on the walls and you could see the patina and you could see the history and feel it. And that's the places that draw me. And I'm so happy.
Well, you don't think those draw me into?
Oh, I do too, but for sure. But I feel like the older I get, the more I mourn for the things we are losing in Florida. And that's something we can investigate more in May as we talk about historic preservation. Because we've lost a lot of good battles in Florida.
I have some very thought out thoughts about that. I have some big feelings. I do not believe progress and preservation are enemies. I think there's a way for them to peacefully coexist. And I think, and we can talk about this more in May, I think that the enemy of preservation is the people who, the Howard Roark, you know, I'm going to blow up my building rather than let it stand with someone else's modifications. It's the people that are 100%, because whenever you go all in like that, you will have a few wins, but they're battles and you're going to lose the war. And that's, you know, like I said, we talk about that in May. we were talking about small towns today. Go eat at Oots, go drink Black Coral Rum, visit Green Cove Springs, go to Gulfport, go to Mat Lache, go to Safety Harbor. Did I miss any?
Go to a fish camp in Wallaca.
Wallaca, I knew I was missing something. Go find your fish camp. There's nothing like a Florida fish camp.
I'll find a link. There's a good one down there, and I'll put a link. We'll put a link in the show notes.
I will see you next time on the Florida Spectacular.
Bye.